February 27th. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago, recently designated as the most corrupt city in the nation. Thanks for joining me today, and thanks for listening to RBN. To see the guest schedule for this program, go to spingola.com. Click on the radio schedule button, choose the year and month, and you will see a list of guests together with links to their websites. I have the schedule for the next two or three weeks, and you can see who's going to be on the program. You may also see the RBN calendar by going to republicbroadcasting.org and clicking on upcoming interviews and events. For questions or comments during this program, email spingola1 at yahoo.com. My regular email is deanna@spingola.com. The Yahoo website appears to be having some mail problems, so I hope that that won't be a problem during the program. RBN is conducting a pledge drive to expand their programming to a much wider audience. I hope that you will consider helping in this effort. You can do that by contributing to the pledge drive, by supporting RBN, by purchasing products from the RBN website, and make some of those products business cards or bumper stickers. You may also subscribe to the archives. It is only $1.33 per month, but you can subscribe at a higher rate. You can also support RBN by purchasing some advertising if you have a product or service that you would like to offer. Just go to republicbroadcasting.org. We will take calls in the second hour of this program. My guest today is Dr. Anthony Santelli. He received his PhD in economics from George Mason University. He has taught economics and finance and has managed money for AES Capital for more than a decade. He is the founder and portfolio manager of money management firm AES Capital and its predecessor, Santelli Partners. Dr. Santelli, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Deanna.
I really appreciate you taking time out of your day. I first found your article, and it's a fabulous article in Culture Wars, the December 2011 issue. And it's a very comprehensive article that tells everything that a person would absolutely want to know about usury. And you certainly have gone into so many things that I have not ever thought about. And you've talked about compound interest. You've talked about all kinds of things. And so I hope that you will be able to share those concepts and principles with our listeners today.
Sure. I don't think I covered quite everything there is to talk about usury. It's a very complicated subject. But what I did in that article is I tried to keep things relatively simple.
Right.
I think the first point... That I made there and that often catches people's attention is how much compound interest can actually compound. If you were to have borrowed $1 at the time of Christ 2,000 years ago at a 6% interest, how much money do you think you would owe today?
Well, it was pretty amazing. And you have the figure here, and it actually has 14 sets of zeros after it. I mean, it's an amazing amount.
It's 4.09 times 10 to the power of 50. And
yes.
That's a lot more money than there exists in the entire world. So, it's just plain and simply impossible to pay.
Exactly. And a lot of people are finding compound interest impossible to pay on many of their credit cards and other things. We do have to go to a break. We'll be back in 3 minutes, so stay tuned.
Want to know our real political and cultural history instead of the corporate media or the government school version devised to provide heroes and extract obedience? Then you will want to read The Ruling Elite, A Study in Imperialism, Genocide, and Emancipation. Learn how Lincoln's War, the majority of which occurred in the South, squandered the lives of at least 622,000 citizens, centralized government power, and introduced Marxism and militarism. Republic Broadcasting's own Deanna Spingola authored The Ruling Elite. On her daily program and in her book, Deanna is not afraid to delve into controversial issues. Order it now at Amazon.com or on Deanna's website, Spingola.com. The Ruling Elite, a study in imperialism, genocide, and emancipation. History is Prologue, our blueprint for today. Discover our history to better understand contemporary events.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
How would you like to save over $100 on your gardening seeds this year? You can at GetSeeds.net. GetSeeds offers 100% open pollinated, heirloom, non-hybrid, GMO-free premium vegetable seeds. On sale now for only $59 for 100 packets. Your 100 packets will include a variety of vegetable seeds, common herb seeds, and garden variety fruits. You can even collect your seeds from the plants you grow so you don't have to purchase more seeds year to year. Go to GetSeeds.net for a chance to buy your seeds at 300%+ below online retailers' prices. Save money and get non-hybrid, heirloom, GMO-free premium growing seeds at GetSeeds.net. GetSeeds.net or call us at 877-341-GROW. That's 877-341-4769. GetSeeds.net.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Dr. Anthony Santella. He is the author of The Free Person and the Free Economy, A Personalist View of Market Economics. So that is a book that also in which he has covered usury.
Actually, I didn't cover usury in that book. I wrote that a long time ago.
Oh, you didn't?
No,
where did
not
I read
that book.
That you had?
I'm in the process of writing a book on usury.
Okay.
It's not out yet.
Okay, but maybe I just got my notes confused here. Okay, so when will it come out?
I do not know. It's not at the publishers yet. I'm still working on it.
Okay.
It'll probably be quite some time.
Okay. I know it takes a lot of time and effort to do a book, and particularly on such a complex issue as usury. But anyway, you were talking about compound interest and how it just grows and how immoral it is.
Yeah, I mean, basically, if you borrowed a dollar at the time of Christ 2,000 years ago, you would owe 4.09 times 10 to the power of 50 dollars today. And if you put that in perspective, that number is very hard to grasp, but if everyone alive today, all 7 billion people, were around from the beginning of time, 15 billion years ago, and if they worked 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from the beginning of time, all through history until today, and if they were lucky enough to earn $1 billion a second for every second of their existence, their combined earnings would still be insufficient to pay back the interest due on that $1 loan that was made only 2,000 years ago. In fact, it would take another 123 trillion Earths each full with 7 billion people working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from the beginning of time, come close to paying off the interest due on that $1 loan made only 2,000 years ago. Now, I know that most of your listeners are not going to believe me. They think that that's I'm exaggerating. I've given this talk a number of times, and that's the typical response. But I invite them to take out their calculators and do the math themselves.
I think that we've all been so brainwashed and indoctrinated to believe that, to accept what the bankers want us to accept, including compound interest and all the other fees and things that, and we feel lucky that we get to borrow the money, that we just don't imagine exactly what we are paying.
Yeah, and you see, if you recognize that if it compounds long enough, it's impossible to pay, then you recognize, well, there's got to be something wrong with compound interest. Historically, for thousands of years, you can go back to the book of Leviticus and then on through the tradition of the Christian church. They always opposed usury. It was always condemned as immoral, right along with theft and murder and other crimes. Yet today, it's considered to be not only legal, but most people don't think there's anything wrong with it. And all, you know, the governments of the world, Greece, Italy, United States, and all the others, their problem is not that they've borrowed too much money, but rather that money that they've borrowed has been compounding at interest over the years, and it's the compounding of the interest that is bankrupting people. If you, for example, the United States, I ran some numbers, you go back to 1950 till today, the amount of interest that has been paid on the debt borrowed is north of $14 trillion. In other words, if interest was not paid on the federal debt, right now there would be no federal debt.
Oh, my. That is really significant. And so, wow.
At a loss for words.
I really am. You know, because we've all just kind of heard about, oh, we owe so much, there's such a deficit, there's this big, you know, our children, grandchildren, their grandchildren will be paying this forever. But then to put it simply, that if there were no usury, there would be no debt, just it is leaves one speechless.
No, if you look at the government, it's and how it operates from the point of view of an accountant, you can say that it basically has a welfare state that provides for the needs of the poor, and in order to get the money, it borrows money from the rich. So it's borrowing money from the rich, giving the money to the poor, who in turn are renting their houses from the rich. So the money goes back in the hands of the rich, and then the rich are also owed both their principal and interest. So then the government goes around and taxes the middle class to pay for the debt that arose to the wealthy. So it's basic government, from the point of view of an accountant, is really a transfer mechanism from the pockets of the middle class into those of the wealthy, or anybody who's lending money to the government, which these days includes the Chinese government, so on. So, you know, if you recognize that, you say, okay, this is kind of crazy, so what do we do about it? And the first question that people ask is, well, if people didn't earn interest, then they wouldn't lend any money. Okay, but that's actually not true. Because if you look at it, people have the money and they have to put it someplace. So they have a choice. They can either hide it under their toe and risk that a thief can steal it all, or they can deposit it at a safe deposit box in a bank and basically pay an annual fee to have it stored there. Then there's still a risk that the bank might get robbed. They can invest it in equities and companies and risk that they're going to lose the money because equities sometimes go down. Or they can lend it out at zero interest, but yet be guaranteed that they'll get their money back. Given those options, and in a world where usury was banned, that would be the only option, some people would still lend money, even if they do not earn any interest. And if you look at the situation today where the Federal Reserve has manipulated the interest rates down, people are basically lending money in short-term government securities, T-bills, and earning just about zero right now. And yet they're still lending trillions of dollars to the government at no interest. So, you know, it's not the case that people would not lend money, because they're doing it right now, even if they didn't earn any interest.
Yeah, that's right. And you talk about the initiation fees and some of the other fees that are quite legitimate and that are moral. And then you compare it with usury, which is very immoral. And here we are, supposedly a Christian country, that have readily embraced usury.
Yeah, I mean, well, let's get into those other points, because, you know, the basic principle is that a lender has the right to be made whole. Okay, so if he lends his money, he has the right to that money back, but no more than that. But if he incurs a cost in making the loan, like an origination fee, he does have the right to ask for that fee back. It's not interest, it's just a flat fee to originate the loan, because that, again, makes him whole. If you don't,
right.
If you don't
and,
allow...
And what, sir, I'm sorry. In what circumstances, the initiate fee, why would it cost him money?
Well, like in the case of a bank. Yeah, a bank has a building, has to turn on the lights, has to heat the building, has to pay for some employees to make the loans and so on. So for those costs of running the business, which is not the profit, okay, costs of running a business, a lending business, and hence the origination fees are legitimate. For example, on a house, I just bought a house recently, and you know, the origination fees amounted to, I forget exactly, but it was maybe $1,000 or $1,500 or something like that. So it's a small amount, but that pays for the time that it took them to do the research, to make sure that, you know, the house was worth what I was paying for it, and so on and so forth.
Right. And it is a legitimate fee. Are you there?
Yes. Oh,
and it is a legitimate fee, and certainly the banker should not be out, paying the salary to his employees and everything else.
If the banker was not able to charge for that, okay, then in making the loans they would be continually suffering losses and they'd go out of business. Okay, then there would be no banks at all in that case. This was actually a situation that was encountered back in the late medieval ages with what's called the Montes Pietatis, and there was debate about this back then as to whether this was an institution that made loans to poor people, and they started off by making the loans and not charging anything, and they realized, well, you know, we have a cost of running this, and so they were losing money. So then they decided to start charging small fees to cover their cost of running the business. And it was ultimately decided, you know, by the theologians of the time and ultimately the church, that those origination fees were legitimate to charge.
Right.
And there's other sets of fees as well that are legitimate. They all go by Latin names that have, you know, been thought through throughout the ages, but for example, if your example I used in the article is that of a farmer, if someone goes to a farmer and says, "Well, hey, I need to borrow, let's say $1,000, and so on and so forth,"
Dr. Santilli,
yes.
We do have to go to a break, so let's pick that up on the other side of the break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Okay.
Berkey P. purification systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkey's are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
Modern medicine has given doctors miraculous powers. Using 21st century imaging technology, surgeons can peer inside the human body in extraordinary detail. Unfortunately for patients, there's virtually no transparency in the billing process. Too often, patients agree to surgical procedures without understanding the full cost of treatment. But all that is about to change. The Surgery Center of Oklahoma is revolutionizing medicine with affordable surgical procedures and completely transparent pricing. Their board-certified surgeons perform over 7,000 surgeries per year at a fraction of the cost charged by traditional providers. The Surgery Center of Oklahoma is perfect for individuals without insurance and people with high deductible plans. If you have a health savings account or self-funded plan, you should definitely consider our services. We even welcome patients from Canada and around the world. Check out our website for all-inclusive pricing at surgerycenterok.com. That's surgerycenterok.com. Or give us a call at 405-475-0678.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Is Dr. Anthony Santelli. And Dr. Santelli, you're going to tell us about the farmer and the kinds of fees that might be legitimate.
Legitimate to charge. Yeah, again, the principle is that the lender has a right to be made whole and so can charge fees for actual costs that the lender incurs in making a loan. We mentioned origination fees. The second is for a real definable loss that the lender incurs in making a loan. The example I was going to use is let's say if someone came to a farmer and asked for a loan from the farmer, and the farmer says, I don't have any money, but I have to sell a cow, and I'll get $1,000 for the cow, and I can lend you that money, but turn, I'm going to be losing the milk from milking the cow, and that would have earned a certain amount of money. So I'm going to have to charge you the price that I would have been able to earn from that milk because I don't have that anymore. That's a legitimate, real, definable loss in making a loan. The problem is when you start getting into these issues of losses, what occurred historically is and why we went from a world where interest was illegal to one where it's commonly accepted. Is people said, well, I could always invest it in something else where I could have earned some money and therefore had the right to charge you that. That's a very different concept, okay, to say, well, there's always some other opportunity where I could have earned money, and after the fact, you can always find one, of course. But before the fact, is a different situation than after the fact. See, before the fact, there is no guarantee that when you invest it in a particular company that you're going to earn money. You know, you may lose the money there. So in the case that we're describing here, it's the case of where it's clear before the fact that, you know, making a loan is actually going to cost the lender something.
Right.
And there's a few other categories of loss that, again, throughout the ages were considered acceptable after, you know, lengthy debate on this subject. And one of those is a late fee. Okay, again, if you can show that being late provides a real definable loss, then you have the right to charge a late fee. So if you were to lend someone $1,000 now and say, well, a year from now, you know, I need to use that for whatever, and the person does not give you the money back, well, then it may cost you. Let's say you need to fix your roof, for example, okay? And since you don't have the money, then you know, maybe it's going to cost you a lot more to fix the roof later.
Right. Well, or maybe you have to borrow money to fix the roof.
Exactly. Exactly. And there may be an origination cost in that you would incur in borrowing the money. So therefore, you have the right to charge that origination cost to the person who was late in making the loan and repaying back the loan to you.
Right. But now, when a person borrows money from the bank and then tries to charge late fee, but they have not actually incurred any expense, then that is not moral, correct?
That would not be legitimate in that case. However, the fifth category is compensation for risk, the risk of loss. So if somebody lends you money, let's say just a personal loan, there are two things that can happen. They can ask for collateral. And if they ask for collateral that exceeds the amount of money that is worth more than the amount of money they lent to you, then if they don't pay you back, well, then you can just sell what they gave you as collateral.
Sure.
Okay, so there's no risk of your loss. This is the case of a home mortgage. All right, so the bank lends you, let's say, 80% of the value of the home, and you put 20% down. The bank has a mortgage on your house, and if you fail to make the mortgage payments, well, the bank forecloses on your house and proceeds to sell it. And with the sole exception of what happened recently, but that's a housing bubble that was manipulated, housing prices typically don't go down 20%. So the bank would have an asset that if you put 20% down, they only put 80% down, would be sufficient to secure their loan in virtually all circumstances.
Right.
So in that kind of a case where there's no risk of loss, then they don't have the right to charge you a risk fee. But otherwise, if there is a risk of loss, then they do have the right to charge that. Now, again, here it gets a little bit complicated because and they can say, okay, well, we can just fly through that loophole and then just charge exorbitant risk fees. Well, in reality, the risk fee really simply should be precisely what the insurance premium would be against the risk of loss. In other words, if you're, let's say you're borrowing money for whatever, you're borrowing $10,000. And the bank goes to an insurance company and says, well, I want to insure against that guy not paying me back $10,000. How much is it going to cost? Okay. And this is what is called a credit default swap in modern terminology.
Okay. Doctor, could you hold on to that thought?
Sure.
We have a break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Do you want to be free yet find that credit card payments are still tying you down? Does it seem like you're not getting anywhere month after month, payment after payment? Do you wish that there was some way to end the slavery and save your money for your family instead? FreeToProsper.com has a solution you've been waiting for. Since 2007, we've been implementing an advanced debt repudiation program which legally ends unsecured debt payments, lets you keep your money, and protects your property. This is not another settlement, repayment, or consolidation program, but a true debt repudiation process that's helped hundreds of Americans all across the country start living better quality lives and prepare for an uncertain future. For a free consultation or to learn more, give us a call today at 877-417-8393 or visit freetoprosper.com right now. That's 877-417-8393 or visit freetoprosper.com.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesense, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit terravim.com.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Dr. Anthony Santelli, and you were going to talk about the mortgages, and you were talking about interest on mortgages, and
we were actually covering a situation where the bank makes a loan.
Okay.
I was thinking about
mortgages and how much people pay for their houses at the end of 30 years.
That's right. We'll get right to that. Let's finish this point and then hop on to that one. So if a bank, let's say, lends you $10,000 and wants to be assured that it will get paid back, so then it goes to an insurance company and says, "Well, how much do I need to pay you, the insurance company, to insure me that this person is going to return the $10,000?" So the insurance company may say, "Well, $100, $200, whatever, $300. So then, you know, if you end up not paying the bank, then the insurance company pays the bank. So the bank is made whole that way at the price of a few $100. So it will have the right to charge you, the borrower, the few $100 to cover its risk that you're not going to pay it back. But that would be all that it would have the right to charge. It couldn't charge premiums beyond that. Now, of course, it can self-insure, and hence, if you do pay it back, it will earn that $300, you know, operating like an insurance company.
Right. But when a person, when a person goes into the bank to borrow money, the bank often does not just hand over the money. They just put it into an account, and, they just create it, in the computer.
Yes. Yes. Well, this gets into this gets into the complexities of how the monetary system works today, where when the bank makes a loan, it basically creates money by creating the loan. It doesn't actually have the money sitting there deposited by some other depositor. Now, so there's some money that's deposited by other depositors, but in a system of fractional reserve banking, it can make out a lot more loans than there are deposits. That gets into complexities of reserve requirements and so on.
Right.
But, I mean, basically, let's try to make it simple. The bank borrows money from the Federal Reserve, okay? Then they pay about, I think the rate right now is 0.25%. And they turn around, they lend it to you at whatever, you know, if it's a home mortgage, I guess these days it's around 4%. If it's on a credit card, the average is around 15. And they just make the spread, make the difference between the 0.25% that it costs them to borrow the money and the 4 or 15 or whatever else they charge people in the loans that they lend.
Right. It is amazing to me that people, that there's 15% on credit cards. And credit cards really just came into being, during the 1970s? And there are some people that will never live long enough to pay off their credit card debt.
Yeah, well, you know, it's some of that is due to the compounding of interest, obviously. We have to be honest, some people, they use their credit cards for things that they cannot afford to pay for, so they're actually borrowing more money than they can afford to pay. Forget about the interest. And that's a separate problem. But, you know, getting back to, I ran some stats on that, going back to 1950 on personal debt, whether it's credit cards or other personal debts, non-mortgage debt, and the amount, the magnitude that that people have paid in interest over the years in constant 2012 dollars is about equal, again, to the magnitude of the credit card debt outstanding. The funny thing is, if now, of course, there are some people that borrow more money, but on average, if we didn't pay interest on our credit cards, we wouldn't have any credit card debt.
Right, would just pay it off.
Over the years, if
right.
the magnitude of the interest that we've paid is, you know, from 1954, that's when I started, you know, the data.
Okay.
Right now, people owe, I think it's about $2.5 trillion in credit card debt, and from 1950 on forward, they've paid about $2.5 trillion in usury on their credit cards.
Oh, got it. Oh, my goodness. I pay mine, I have one credit card, and I pay it off every month. So I don't pay any interest at all.
And by the way, that figure actually takes into account a 2% annual risk premium. In other words, it takes into account, it allows the bank to charge 2% to cover those that end up going bankrupt and don't pay their principal.
Oh, that's interesting.
And the funny thing is, you could look at a similar statistic with home mortgages. And you look at the amount of interest that has been paid on home mortgages, and this is interest above and beyond the rate of inflation. And we'll get into the inflation issue in a minute. And the amount of interest that's been paid above the inflation rate in constant 2012 dollars, 1950, $10.6 trillion. And if you look at the peak of the market in early 2008, the amount of debt that people had on their homes was $10.6 trillion. Now it's actually less. It's mainly less because some people have had the banks foreclose upon their homes, and hence debt no longer exists, but they lost the home too. So
what
again,
a shame.
It's a situation where usury is the elephant in the living room. I think when you look at all the issues that our economy is facing, all of them. I would say that if you were to abolish usury, you would solve more than half of the nation's problem with this single issue. And no one's talking
exactly.
about it.
Exactly. That is very interesting. And that's what I found so compelling about your article. Just the numbers and just all of the things that you cover in this article. And, I mean, my goodness, this is the big problem. And this is why, the church, the Catholic Church and, other churches have said no usury. This was the whole issue, with Christ and in the temple court was against, the people who were charging usury.
That's basically right. And that was the thing that they ultimately arrested him for.
Yes, so they killed him over that, basically.
Yeah, yes, you can say that. They probably would have killed him anyway. But
sure, but that was a thing. That was a straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. And certainly, they didn't want him talking about it because even then, they were benefiting greatly by this practice. And look to what it's grown to.
Yep, it's it guarantees the concentration of wealth into the hands of the few. If you wonder from 1970 until the present, the average working American earns no more today than they did in the mid 70s in terms of purchasing power. And you wonder why. You say, well, the economy is so much larger. As a whole, the nation is wealthier. Why isn't this wealth being distributed, you know, through the economic system into the hands of everyone where we're all better off? And the answer is usury.
Right.
The prices of everything that we buy is usury. I mean, businesses, they borrow money at interest, and they have to recover that cost. And so the prices of the things that we pay are that much higher than they otherwise would be. It's all embedded in the system, and so we're paying more for everything, and hence the people have less.
Right. And you're not talking about redistributing the wealth there. You're talking about the fact that there is a very small percentage of the people who are acquiring the proceeds from the labor of everyone, and they're not doing anything except making money available. Correct?
Yeah, I'm not talking about the redistribution of wealth. I mean, if you say, okay, well, how do we resolve this issue? Well, the first step is to simply make usury illegal. Okay, I mean, that would require that the banking system transform itself. I mean, loans, like I said, would still be made at no interest. Banks could also make investments into businesses, in exchange for a percentage of the profits, they currently do in some situation. Most of what banks do is they lend for real estate loans. They certainly could invest in businesses and also have what's very little done these days is a royalty investment. Because if you invest in a company in exchange for the percentage of the profits, particularly if you're dealing with small businesses, small business can simply pay themselves if there's sole proprietorship or whatever, an exorbitant salary, make sure there's no profits left. So you have to structure the loans in a little bit of a different fashion. And you can make royalty loans, which is in exchange for the percentage of sales. And again, if you hit a recession and sales go down, well, then the bank earns less. But you can have a banking system without having, making loans and interest.
Of course. Now, who made all of this possible? Congress?
Oh no, this stuff came around before the United States even became into existence. I'm not a historian. I'm not the best person to explain the history of how we went from, you know, from a world of no usury to one where there is,
Congress certainly allows it because they benefit also.
Well, what happened in the United States, and I believe it was about 19, 1980 was the Supreme Court, and prior to 1980, there were usury laws that, limited the amount of interest that could be charged. There were state laws that limited the amount of interest. And then the Supreme Court passed a law that said, well, if a bank has its headquarters in one state, then it could apply the usury laws of that state to its business anywhere, and effectively abolishing the usury laws of every state but the one that had the most liberal usury laws. And that just wiped out any remnants of the old system that we still had.
Oh, okay. So it's gotten quite a lot worse. Well, obviously it has gotten quite a lot worse since that, and since the savings and loan fiasco.
Yeah, but the the problem was already in existence even before then. If you have a world where interest is still allowed, the problem is where do you draw the line? How can you say that, well, 6% is okay, but 7% is excessive? That's usury. You can't draw the line like that. And people who sought to do that, again, this gets into a historical discussion. That's not the proper way to understand the morality of the issue. Okay, the morality of the issue, people actually often get this wrong, but the best way that I've found to describe this from a moral perspective is that there shouldn't be any institutions that are adversarial in their nature. Okay, I mean, if you want to go back to a Judeo-Christian view of the world with a loving God would not have institutions in a society that conforms to his order that contain, adversarial relationships. And usury is an adversarial relationship because whether the borrower makes money on the money he's borrowing or not, in other words, he may use it and suffer a loss, nonetheless, he still has to pay back the money he borrowed with interest. So that relationship is adversarial. On the other hand, if instead of lending money to the borrower, you were to invest in his business, now your interests between the so-called lender and borrower, which are aligned, because they're not lender and borrower anymore. It's an equity investor in someone else's business, and you profit when they profit, and you suffer losses when they suffer losses.
Right.
So it's a very different kind of relationship.
Absolutely. Sounds wonderful. Very, very unique. Now, most of the listeners are aware that the Federal Reserve came into existence and that they charge usury. They print up all of the currency, and that they charge usury for all the citizens to use their paper, their fiat money.
Well, wait a second. Actually, if they print dollars, okay, a dollar bill is a non-usurious loan. Okay, if you're sitting there with a $10 bill, you don't have to pay interest for owning that bill. It's only when you borrow money you got to pay interest on it.
Okay, so it isn't like a debt-based currency that we spend into the economy.
Well, when new money is created by the banks, it's created as debt. Okay, so that you can say that money is based on usury because it's money that's created and interest is being charged on it.
Right. I guess that's what I meant.
Yeah, but the the bailout was basically a method by which they took money that compounded an interest and converted it into money that did not compound an interest. Okay, if you look at the Fed's balance sheet, I don't have the figure in front of me, but they doubled it. They basically bought bad debt from the banks and gave them $1 trillion of newly printed money.
Oh.
They overpaid for the debt that they acquired from the banks, which is what made the banks solvent. But the newly printed money into the banking system doesn't doesn't charge in. There's no interest on that.
Okay. Okay, let's talk about what people actually pay for their homes. when they purchase a home. And we do have to take a break here in about 20 seconds, so, but that's something that I really want to talk about, and maybe talk about how they can avoid all of that interest through amortization, and which the mortgage lenders do not usually tell anybody about, but which is available and which can help people so that they do not pay all of that interest. So we will be right back with our guest today, Dr. Anthony Santelli, after a word from our sponsors.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Dr. Anthony Santelli, and we were going to be talking about mortgages and how much homes actually cost if one were to pay on them for 30 years, which some people do.
I think the interest rate is about 5.8% fixed for 30 years, where you end up paying as much in interest as you do on the price of the loans. You'll be paying twice for the house as to what you think you're paying. These days, with interest rates being around 4% or so, you end up paying less than that, but you're still paying, you know, about 75% more for the house than what you think you are. Now, of course, that's not exactly true, because with inflation, the money that you're paying in the future is not the same in terms of purchasing power as the money today. So presuming that your salary goes up with the rate of inflation, which it doesn't always do that, but if that's the case, then it's a little bit easier to pay off money in the future than it is today.
Right.
Now, which incidentally does get to an interesting point. You know, getting back to the principle that a lender has the right to be made whole, the lender does have the right to be made whole for inflation as well, if, in fact, the contract is structured in that manner. So, you know, the data that I gave you about earlier, about $10.6 trillion in interest that people have paid, or in usury that people have paid on their home mortgage loans since 1950, that is over and above the inflation rate. In a world without usury, a bank does have the right to be made whole, and hence has the right to charge the inflation rate on the loan that it makes, so that it's paid back with the same purchasing power as what it made. Now, that's a big issue today in a world where, you know, everyone's afraid of inflation. I hold to the belief that without usury, there would be no inflation. It's precisely because government debt compounds in interest that governments have to inflate the currency in order to pay off that debt.
Right. So they just keep printing more money and more money to pay off. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So if you didn't have usury, you wouldn't have inflation. So the inflation issue would end up being moot. Nonetheless, if there were inflation for whatever reason, a bank does have the right to recover that.
Exactly.
But getting back to home loans, you had a question for me on that.
Right. If people were understood that they could get an amortization schedule and make principal payments in advance, for instance, they might make their regular monthly payment and then make three principal payments ahead,
mm-hmm.
They could pay off their mortgage in a very short period of time, because when you make the principal payments, say three or four ahead, then you're not going to be paying interest for those payments, if you make them ahead.
That is absolutely correct. What it's funny, because the bank makes it a little bit difficult for you to do that. What they do, a mortgage is structured such that, is that another commercial?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay.
It is. It's our top of the hour 1 minute break. We will be right back.
Okay.